Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
And Mike, the feverish Fanero.
He's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Hey, baby, they come.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever episode 265. And I'm here as always with, you guessed it, the feverish Fanero. I was just with you on Dynasty Trades HQ. We recently recorded a show. For some reason, I feel like I haven't done this. And I've had fun both times. Like, we had Dave Wright on last week. We were just on Dynasty Trades HQ. Awesome show, by the way. You guys check that out. I had a hell of a time with those guys. Thank you so much for having us on. If for some reason you guys don't listen to Dynasty Trades HQ and you're listening to us, I'm surprised, quite honestly, and flattered, but check those guys out.
I'm actually a little surprised that you said that, because I felt like they kind of let us take over the show.
It was awesome. Yeah, I had a great time.
Yeah, so I felt like we already did a Rookie Fever podcast.
Yeah, I had a great time. Like, shout out to those. And we talked about a lot of different interesting stuff, though. Like, we were there to talk about rookies, but it went a lot of different directions and some fun stuff that it's hard to make room for on this show. So I appreciate them making that room for us on theirs, quite honestly. Tons of fun. Feverish, I got to start this out with you making a case for Jerry Jeudy at 202. Or the trade of Jerry Jeudy for 202, or was it a 203?
It was 202.
202.
Yeah, I
202.
Was... 202. I was
on the board. We have your Damian Pierce, James Cook. This pick has not been made yet.
Yes, Cook is still there.
This pick has not been made yet. Make a case for Jerry Jeudy. And I know he's just recently had some legal issues. Doesn't sound like it's going to be too serious, quite honestly.
Nah.
Jerry Jeudy, or you want that 202, Damian Pierce. I know you pick a 203. Try to ignore that fact, Fanero.
Yes. Yeah, I will.
Damian Pierce, James Cook, Jerry Jeudy. That's kind of the area we're in right now, right?
Yep. That's exactly where we are. They're probably the two names that are most commonly drafted right there at the top of the second. Cook usually doesn't even make it to the second in drafts. And yeah, Jerry Jeudy for me, beyond the fact that he's a known quantity, where these rookies, like, who the hell knows? Damian Pierce, as much as I love him, as we talked about on HQ, he's a little pricier than I would like. But yeah,
what
Jerry
did you
Jeudy,
expect
man.
That price to be?
Well,
we're talking about the ripple effect today, by the way.
Houston?
Sorry, guys. We're talking about the ripple effects today of the NFL draft, not just about our rookies, but some of the ripple effects that it's had on other players. But what were you thinking, like, going into it? Because I know you liked Damian Pierce, but 201, you know, I've seen him go from, like you said, 201, say 205, to be fair, anywhere in that range.
Yeah. And you're saying, like, after he was drafted, where was I hoping he would go?
Or pre-draft. Like, I mean, because you say it's
pre-draft.
A little pricey, but
yeah,
I mean, if you get a running back, I hear you talk. I can hear your expectations and the narrative you're creating in your head. I know how bad you want Damian Pierce. Like, a second round pick for a running back with the expectations that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that's that bad.
No, and second round is different than, you know, like, if he, I think I would love to get Damian Pierce in the 2-5, 2-9 area as opposed to 2-1, 2-2. That's all.
203?
Yeah, well, he's staring me in the face at 203. I think he's almost a lock for me to be able to draft him at 203 in this draft, because I think Cook goes in front of Pierce in every draft. So I think
James Cook or Damian Pierce?
Cook goes in front of Pierce in any draft I've seen.
No, for you. Let's say that you have that.
I'm going Pierce, actually. Swags,
okay.
I'm going Pierce. Yeah,
I
actually, I really am. And it's funny that you're twisting my heart in so many different directions with this question, because I sense, like you had mentioned on HQ last night, that I'm going to have a lot of Damian Pierce. I traded into a second round to get Damian Pierce with that, obviously, goal in mind. You're doing the same thing with Williams. I'm now starting to get a little nervous about just how much I'm investing in Damian Pierce. So I don't mind an occasional James Cook, right? Like, if Damian Pierce was to go here, okay, I'll take Cook. Like, give me a share of that and see if I'm wrong. But my gut tells me that Damian Pierce has that role. Marlon Mack and his 1 year contract is going to earn less than Damian Pearson's fourth round rookie contract. That just tells you how much they have invested in Marlon Mack. When I looked that up, I was stunned. I thought Marlon Mack was getting a little something. But yeah, we're going to talk about on this show how landing spots of these rookies have affected other players on the teams. And that's one, you know, that clearly you would have saw me brought up at some point in the show. I probably wouldn't have brought it up early because I'm pretty sure people are tired of hearing me talk about Damian Pierce, but Marlon Mack takes a big gut punch.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens and if Marlon Mack gets any play. And I mean, because I have Marlon Mack in two leagues where I felt like I needed running backs. One of them I did have Damian Pierce, or I do have, excuse me. The other one, I just traded the pick away that I would have been in the area that you and I are mentioning, and I didn't have a pick. But then with me, kind of like you said, maybe take a shot at James Cook, that's where I was going to go with the 201 that I traded away, and it was to diversify a little bit. I don't have any James Cook.
Yep.
I have a little bit of hesitancy to take him, but I thought about it at that 201, then I saw that trade, accepted it. But man, there's that chance that he could be a Kamara type running back in a PPR format like we're playing in. So
that's the upside.
He is somebody I wouldn't mind nabbing a share of at some point within these rookie drafts.
Yeah,
so that ripple effect to Marlon Mack, how are you feeling about that? Like, if you have Damian Pierce, do you have any interest in Marlon Mack?
Not much, no.
Because the price has gone down. You probably don't have to pay much, you know.
What's not much? Fourth or fifth? Because I'm not paying a third for Marlon Mack, I promise you that.
Yeah, and to me, it's not worth it for a fourth.
Right. Yeah, so I don't see myself investing then.
Maybe if we're on the board, and if, for me, because you know me, maybe if we're on the board and Hassan Haskins is there, or Tyquan Thornton, but then you might not want to do it. But maybe if one of those guys is on the board, and I feel like I can dip in and get one of my guys that I've seen fall in just for that price. And these aren't, I'm not trying to get hot takey and be like, these guys are going to win it for you. But for the price, dude, I've traded into drafts at like 306 to get Tyron Thornton, dude, because the second round draft capital to the Patriots, who I think could use some wide receiver talent. They went after it there. Who knows what's going to happen? But at 306, I don't care if he fails, dude. Quite honestly, you know what I mean? And if he hits, like, holy cow, you know how I build teams. I've got some that need some wide receivers. So I'm taking some dart throws on some of these guys that people aren't looking at much. So if those guys are on the board and you offer me that trade, yeah, I'm doing it. But if you offer me a 2023, I'd rather just wait the year out, you know. A third, yeah. I'll do it. I'll do it for a third. Fourth, fifth, it's just, I get it. I get why that's what you're offering me. I just don't care enough. You know, I'd rather have that see for myself.
I think the third's kind of fun this year for that reason exactly. You can take these little stabs. I'll tell you what's not fun. The fourth and fifth round, I'm trading straight out. You can have all my fourth and fifth round picks. Seriously, man. Like, down there, I'm looking at, like, tight ends I'm not interested in. I just, I don't know, man. When it gets that far, I feel like even last year, I was more, had more interest in the fourth round than I do this year.
Yeah. But that third round, like you said.
Oh, yeah.
It's super fun to have, like, between, like, 3-6, and I'll even go as far as 4-0-2. I know you said trade out of it, but it's super fun to have picks in that area. And just, if you have the roster space, to just throw as many as you can, quite honestly, like, put me at the line, let me keep throwing darts. And I feel like there's a certain amount of depth there. Not, like, studs, but depth there that maybe you hit, you know? I'm looking for Amon-Ra St. Brown in the third, fourth round instead of getting him at 205 last year.
Yeah, dude. I told you,
I don't know.
I told you I got one of my targets, David Bell, in the third round.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's definitely some names there. Brian Robinson went 303 in our Superflex Army.
Let's stick there. What I mean, because I know that's your boy. And I know you've mentioned getting him in the third round. You and Dave Wright were having a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
What is that ripple effect? Like, what do you feel like that will look like for Antonio Gibson? And what's the ripple effect for the Commanders?
Yeah, so Antonio Gibson owners, unless they were being truthful to themselves, definitely were concerned even when McKissick came back and signed over there. And that does hurt. It does hurt him. Like, there's no doubt it hurts him for McKissick to be there. We've seen it. It's not hypothetical. And the team wanted him back, clearly. So that hurts. Then they take Brian Robinson, not in the fourth, but in the third round. And this is all I would have to say to Antonio Gibson and Antonio Gibson owners is better stay healthy, dude. You better stay healthy. You do not want Brian Robinson to have 2-3-4 game stretch like you allowed your backups last year to do. I don't think it's one of those things. I think we get caught up this time of year thinking that these running backs, we've seen them all, Jonathan Taylor, Swift, all of them take a while to get into the offense. So I think Antonio Gibson might be fine in the first third or for even first half of the season, but they're going to work Brian Robinson in. They're going to work him in, and they're going to work him in, and he's going to succeed. He's going to have high efficiency. They're going to use him, and I know people are going to hate this. They're going to use him on the goal line. He's a big, strong back. So you have that as well. Yeah, Brian Robinson is absolutely going to have a ripple effect on Antonio Gibson, no doubt.
And it sounds like they like it a lot. And I mean, a lot of the conversations you see when people are talking about Antonio Gibson is how he's played through his injuries. But he's played through his injuries. He was RB this, he was RB that. And I'll tell you what, guys, that was awesome that he played through those injuries. Like, you love to see it from your running backs when they're on your fantasy teams. That was really good for you last year. That was really good for you in 2020. That's not good for a running back's long-term value and health, quite honestly. So like Fanero said, if this guy gets hurt again, I don't think they're going to just keep playing him through all of these injuries like they have. Like, at some point, it's not good for him. It's great for your fantasy squads while it lasts, but it's wearing him down quicker. You want these guys to... As much as it hurts you in season, you want these guys on your dynasty squads, if you're thinking about the future, to take some time off when they run into some of these injuries. It helps you then, but I mean, if you're not proactive in moving them, it could catch up with you.
And you predicted that Washington was going to draft a running back, even back last year, and you were almost certain this year, and it did happen. And it was for that exact reason, everything that you just said. The team feels the same way that fantasy owners should feel. The team should not feel real good about Antonio Gibson trying to limp along. I mean, even though it's great, it shows great
heart.
He did
awesome. Yeah.
Like, but he took a huge hit in production during that time where he was trying to struggle through it. And and again, it's admirable for sure. But, you know, it didn't help the team as much as I think spelling him when he's hurt and giving Brian Robinson more of that, you know, that workload.
Yeah, I'm with you. How do you feel about Juju?
Yeah, Juju's tricky. The thing for me is I just feel like, well, if Juju wasn't on a one-year deal, I'd feel better, a lot better. If he would, even a 2 or 3 year deal, I would feel a lot better. This one-year deal, Sky Moore likes to play inside as well. He can play on the outside, but the fact that they both kind of do that makes me nervous, but I'm hoping that what it is the sum of the parts is what Kansas City's going for here, which is like, yeah, we have two guys that are kind of similar and they can both play inside and outside. Good luck finding out who's playing what, like trying to figure that out. Like maybe that's their game plan, or maybe their game plan is Sky Moore is the long-term answer for Juju when he leaves next year. Like that scares me, but I like Juju. I do. And I'm not trying to like him.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, well, that's the key. What you just say. I want to like him. I'm afraid I want to like him more than I like him. Like, you know what I mean? It's been a minute since he's been like ultra productive. And I just, he's just in the right spot. If we want to get excited about Sky Moore, I think you have to get excited about Juju as well. And in Sky Moore is a rookie, right? He's going to have some acclimations as much as we like him, and we liked him even at the beginning of this process, and we love the landing spot. Juju's still been in the league a lot longer. Juju knows what he's doing. And I feel like I'm really torn. I have a big question mark on that one, Swags. The ripple effect, if I feel like it could be good or bad, and I just won't know. You know, I could sit here and try and guess as much as I want. I have a feeling that Juju's going to have a really good, like, wide receiver 2 season, and then I don't know what that means to Kansas City. Do you know what I mean? Like, I know what that means for fantasy. Yeah, what does that mean?
He's
right.
Still young.
Yeah, definitely still young. So it's just so hard because now it's a business. Now it's a money thing. What does Juju get out of that? Does Juju want to stay? Does Juju want to take that and get more money somewhere else because the wide receiver market's so crazy? Like, I don't love that. I think he still has a decent amount of name recognition in the league, but clearly not enough. He didn't get a great deal in Kansas City. He didn't get a long-term deal in Kansas City, but
he hasn't had a season like year one when he was with Antonio Brown.
That's the key, right? Like, what does he do? Does he get 1,000 yards or 1,200 yards? Does he have 8 touchdowns or 3 touchdowns? Like, his production on this team is so confusing because, like, if he does really, really well, there's a part of me that thinks that they're going to want to keep him. And there's another part of me that thinks that Juju might want to just leave and catapult that into a contract. So it's so murky. That ripple effect is very murky.
I want to come full circle with this then. Jerry Jeudy or Sky Moore?
I will go Jerry Jeudy.
It was tough.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see you were a little hesitant, and to be fair, Sky Moore's on the board in the league. We mentioned that trade. He is available, so I don't know if that's what the team is thinking. But, oh no, is Sky gone? No, he is gone, isn't he? He went like 108, 109?
Yeah, 108.
My apologies, that's pretty far off. But you still said Jerry Jeudy to give an idea of how you feel.
The funny thing is like, you know, this is the third rookie draft I'm in. And when you said Jerry Jeudy, I tried to separate where I know Sky Moore's going because I just saw Jerry Jeudy go at 2-2 and Sky Moore's going 1-8, 1-10. So that's a significantly more draft capital. So I tried to remove that from my brain and just said, okay, Jerry Jeudy, known quantity, tethered to Russell Wilson, probably not going to have any legal problems here. I'm going Jerry Jeudy. Like, and at this point, I'm always going to do that. Now, preseason, first 2 weeks of the season, I see Sky Moore gets it right away, like is getting it. And I'm now worried about like Juju's production because Sky Moore is getting it. Then I flip the script and I go, wow, I should have went with Sky Moore. But there's so many things I don't know about Sky Moore at this point that I already know about Jerry Jeudy. I already know Jerry Judy's a great route runner. I already know Jerry Jeudy is also attached to a wonderful quarterback. The only thing I don't know is how Sky Moore will acclimate to the NFL.
Yeah.
So that's why I lean that way. But it was tough. You're right.
So can we go to Buffalo really quick?
Sure.
Because for Buffalo, it's interesting because I feel like you and I and the company we keep, a lot of times we bring up James Cook and we kind of mention the value increase he's had. We were pre-warned ourselves to not get too excited about a Buffalo spot. We mentioned Dalvin Cook, the namesake. We don't really talk much about Zach Moss or Devin Singletary and the ripple effect that it could potentially have, though, and the fact that it does seem like they're looking for something there in Buffalo if they're willing to take James Cook as the third running back off the board in the NFL draft.
I think with his pass-catching ability, he probably was the best pass catcher in this class. I think that him and Zamir White in college were a great tandem, and I think what they see – I think what they want to do is something that they haven't been doing in Buffalo. So I do think they have a plan for him, and we're all going to guess on what that plan is. And I'm actually a little more surprised, actually, Swags, that Cook hasn't obtained even more love because people tend to get carried away with landing spots. And I agree with you. Like, he's definitely getting great draft capital. He's getting pushed up boards, all that. But given the fact that nobody seems to really like Singletary – like at all, you know, I'm surprised he's not even catapulted even more.
Yeah.
I think it's clearly that in his rookie season, Cook will be the running back to own out of those three. Like, I don't think that I don't know how debatable that is, at least not for me. I think that's very, very clear. The thing that's not as clear for me is a running back as a pass catcher for Buffalo. Like, I haven't seen
a ton
of that.
Could he be that Cole Beasley role too, though?
I mean, who knows? I mean, I really think that they have a plan, and it's going to be really exciting to see. So James Cook in a 4-point PPR. Yeah, no, that's what I said coming into the show, and we talked about Pierce or Cook. I'm like, you know what? Like, right here, I'm going to get one of those two coming up. Could be in this show. I'm going to get one of those two. I could. Who knows, man? I could get a choice between the two. I doubt it. But that could happen as well. And I told you, like, I wouldn't mind having Cook there because I know I'm going to own a lot of peers. I would love to diversify. It's the funnest thing about being in multiple dynasty leagues, to be honest. It's like if you just start loading up in one direction, you just kind of cheat your bets and go, okay, you know what? I've been ignoring this guy a little bit. Like the Drake London pick in the other draft where I went 102 Drake London. Garrett Wilson, I told you, is my wide receiver one. I decided in that league, let's do a little Drake London.
Yeah, I've got a lot of Drake London. I just dropped him to waivers because Bryan Edwards went to the Falcons. And I was like, it's over. This ended quick.
Nice.
Bad honeymoon, man.
It was rough. It was a short-lived time on the perch for Drake London, that's for sure. Once
we
Brian
don't
Edwards
talk
there.
A lot about third-year wide receivers here, though. I think we've done a show on them before, though, but any hope for Brian Edwards at all? I mean, jokes aside, I was joking, guys. I did not drop Drake London.
Well, I'll answer that question with your own words, because I remember you said this, because you know I'm heavily invested in Brian Edwards. In a league, I traded you, Brian Edwards, just to get rid of one. And you told me, or on a show, you probably didn't tell me, I think it was on a show, you said, Brian Edwards just needs a guy to throw the ball up to him and let him catch it.
Yep.
That's who he needs. Well, guess what? Atlanta, starting quarterback, is not on that team. Atlanta... No. Is going to have a top three pick next year. Atlanta is going to have one of these stud quarterbacks coming out. What if one of those guys knows how to throw Brian Edwards the ball?
Maybe. You know, it's a long time to wait.
It's a long time to wait. You waited this long.
But I know what you mean, too. And I hear you, because Marcus Mariota
is just trying to get you a little excited.
Ritter's not that guy. Marcus Mariota's not that guy.
No.
You're absolutely right.
But they're gone.
My problem is I don't want to trade you Brian Edwards today for a third. And that seems to be what everybody says they're doing.
Yeah.
And to me, it's like, well, if you couldn't get a third for Brian Edwards all this offseason, like, you're not that good at this. Like, you haven't been trying. That's where, like, it comes into play that, like, it's the fictional hold. Like, no, you held him to get exactly what you could have got weeks ago, but now your market has changed by so much because we're actually in our rookie drafts. You're seeing what people are able to draft with some of those third round picks. The market has changed. It's the fictional hold. At this point, I'm just like, yeah, like if that, I might as well just keep him if you're just giving me like some trash for, like, you're offering me a fourth because he got traded to a team that showed they wanted him. Like, and you're getting, I don't know. It's like, he's worth the same as he was yesterday. I'll just keep holding on, you know?
I agree. Yep. Fictional hold.
You know, and I know it works out sometimes. Don't get me wrong, but it's just that the market is so constantly fluctuating anyway that sometimes you do get Allen Robinson to the Rams.
I'm on the clock.
You know, and oh, who got picked before you? Let them know really quick.
Oh, Malik Willis got picked. So I am now on the clock with the...
So James Judy
Cook.
For Malik Willis?
Yes. That is ridiculous. No, thank you. Wow. So
they might listen to the show. They might.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a great, you know, consideration.
Good move.
Yes, absolutely. But I did say, who knows, on the James Cook, Damian Pierce debate.
Ooh.
And now I am confronted with it. And after speaking with my great friend, Swagzilla0G, and feeling kind of content, I feel like I should just jump in here and grab a share of James Cook since I have so much.
Man, I feel like that's the way to go. And I want some Damian
Pierce.
Like,
it really
too.
Is.
Like, I'm with you on like being a little bit conflicted. I did a mock with our friend Brandon Lejeune, and he took Damian Pierce over James Cook post draft. You know, so
he knows his stuff too,
and it made me feel good. But man, I kind of want some James Cook a little bit, just a share.
Yeah.
This is a tough pick for Nero.
Well, actually, so here's the deal. So I believe
you want that
James.
Second round draft capital or fourth? Do you care? Do you even care?
What, James Cook?
The draft capital? Do you care about the draft capital?
I mean, it's a consideration, so I care about it. But between these two, we just got done saying, like, I like Pierce a little bit more than Cook. I really do. I just like, but. Houston's a dumpster fire, right? Like, who knows what the hell's going on over there? Pierce has, you know, if you're going to knock on Pierce, the production wasn't there in college. He wasn't utilized. He never got more than 100 carries. This is a PPR league, clearly. Is it points per carry as well, though, this league?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I would say that's in Pierce's favor in this one. But, yeah, dude, I got a little excited after our conversation, but I think I'm going to sit on this pick because I think I'm not the only one that wants Cook. I think that's a big enough name where I should sit here and see if I can get myself some Jerry Jeudy.
Maybe the amount of the show here will be enough time for somebody to send you a trade even.
I would not doubt that. I would not doubt that. That could happen as well.
Maybe worth waiting.
Can I move us from Buffalo over to the Jets, since it's such a short trip?
Yeah, let's make it. How are we getting there?
We're getting there with, I think, one of the biggest winners of the ripple effect that you call it, from these rookies going to teams. And that's Zach Wilson, I think, is a huge winner. just a huge winner. It's like the Jets were playing fantasy football over there, right?
Yeah.
They got arguably the best wide receiver. They got the best running back. And they're out there in free agency picking up Laken Tomlinson to help with the offensive line. CJ Uzmanzada to go out Tyler there and Conklin. Become an... Yeah, dude, I think they're Still building around him.
Elijah Moore.
Oh, my God, dude. Like, seriously, how is this not... How is Zach Wilson not one of the biggest winners in this draft?
I think it might be the jersey.
Probably is the jersey.
But other than that, dude, I'm with you, man. Like, I told you about that... My Herbert share that I had to part ways with in that huge trade that I took on a share of Zach Wilson and draft picks that ended up getting me Jameson Williams and Drake London in a team where I really needed some wide receivers. And when the trade hit, I was just like, I don't trade Herbert. And then I was like, well, that's a silly way to look at this. You know, my team is never going to get better. I'm almost in a weird way wasting Herbert. And I have to start looking at certain teams are different, you know, all teams sure. aren't as shiny as others. And this sure. one had some areas. And I mean, what's the difference with the way I'm willing to talk about Zach Wilson and what I just thought happened for him? What's the difference really going to end up being in fantasy production at the end of the season if it all happens like we're talking about right now?
Oh, if it happens, sure. Yeah. You're betting on the if.
You got to bet, man.
Yeah, that's the only way to win is to bet.
Just, I had to take the bet on this. If not, you know, I need one of those wide receivers to hit. I just made a horrible trade. But yeah. I talked to you and Dave about it really quick, and I accepted it before you got back to me. And both of you, I think, were kind of like, keep Herbert.
Yeah, just we like, both oh, said that.
I'm done.
We
I'm
both
done.
Said that. We did like, both say that.
Got another share of Zach Wilson, James it was Williams, close, though. And Drake London.
It yeah. was close, though. I get it.
If I show you the team, too, you imagine it without those players, and you're like, okay, yeah, maybe. Nothing's in a vacuum, right?
That's right.
And if I show you this team and you just take those players away, you might be like, oh, wow, yeah, you had to make that trade.
Yeah, I mean, that's where that whole phrase came from, dude. Like, I just get tired of being asked questions where there's just no context. It's like, if you come at me with Twitter, I'm just going to ask you more questions. And I think that's a good thing. I think I should know more. I don't think I should just blindly answer your question. I think too many people do that on Twitter. And when I say people, I'm not saying analysts. I'm saying people in general. And that's what kind of starts this whole thing going. It's like this small little pool that everyone just keeps regurgitating the same shit because they're not giving it careful thought. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you need to think about the context. And it changes for especially like this rookie class. And we talked about that on HQ, or I did. I mentioned that, you know, after like 109, 110, man, just pick your guy. You know, just pick your guy. Like, it's tough to say with this talent at this year, just go for it. Whatever's fun. And right now, I'm telling you, like, no one's listening because this isn't live. But Cook feels fun. I like Dameon Pierce, dude. You know I do. You know I do. But Cook feels – Cook, he did. Yeah. I just looked at the two other leagues that I had already gone through and he went in the first.
I'll tell you what, if people from our league listen to this might annoy you that, you know, this might just happen right now. It'll be in the past for you.
Right.
I think you should sit on that pick. And as soon as we get done with the show, send a couple of trades out for the 204 just to get them out there. And because I know if you pick right now, you won't be focused enough to try to move in and get that pick. And then maybe you can move in and get your guy there, too.
You're totally right. I told you I was happy with either one. Let's go see what we can get for a move down.
Slow it down for a second. You know who you want. And when the show's over, you send a couple of trades out really quick for that 204, and then you take your guy so that they know they're not getting James Cook.
All right. I have to take a minute to do something. All right, you people listening right now, all of you, if you're not following Swagzilla Zero G, like, I have no idea what you're doing. The guy is so active on Twitter. He's ridiculously helpful. Like, it doesn't matter if you have two followers. He's going. Wait, am I allowed to say that, Swags? Are you going to reach out? If you reach out to him, he is so interactive. I suck on Twitter, right, Swags? I'm just not on there enough. I love it. I love the interaction. I try to get to anybody I possibly can, but not like Swags and not with the information he can bring to the table. Here I am in a draft that hadn't even occurred to me. It's excellent advice. Why would I not do that? Why would I not do that? That's easy. Let's just see what happens.
Yeah, I appreciate you, dude. And I absolutely will get back with you. I will say, if I ever don't get back with you, message me again. you know, at a later date or later couple hours if you're just kind of like, dang, because I will, you know. And if for some reason I'm not following you, my DMs are open, but that goes to a different area and it's like weirdly harder to see and I might skip over it. So even like message me or something, I'll follow you back. I have found that some of my best follows are the people asking questions, the people throwing up polls, the people that want help, that want a little bit of advice, you know? So I follow a wide range of people, but some of my favorites are those people that are actually putting up questions, putting up polls, want to be a little interactive. So absolutely hit me up anytime. I appreciate you though, Finero, but I think that you might have thought about that if you weren't doing a podcast right now.
That's a possibility. Yeah, maybe you're giving me maybe you're giving me a little too much credit, but no, I think you know what I probably would have done if we weren't on this podcast? I think I probably would have picked another share of Damian Pierce.
Mm.
I think I probably would. If I'm honest with myself, I think I would have made that league my point to say that I'd like Damian Pierce over Cope, because I've been saying that and I should stick to my guns. I know you're in that league. I know you know that's how I feel. So I probably would have done just that.
I'll tell you what, though. If you take Damian Pierce, it's going to be a lot harder to get that 204. But if you take James Cook, that I think you have a higher possibility of getting that pick. Also, our draft has been completely changed by whoever just took Malik Willis, because now everybody that wasn't thinking about quarterbacks is kind of like, oh, do I have to take Matt Corral now? Like, I didn't want to do this. Like, I thought I'd get my first share of Malik Willis today at the 301. It's not happening. He was just taking 11 picks before I got there. So, man, these, like you said, dude, these drafts are all just so freaking different. Yeah. Is there any ripple effect worth talking about with Malik Willis and Ryan Tannehill?
Oh, man, dude. The thing that's definitely in Willis's favor is the Tannehill contract. I believe, if I have to guess, I believe that after this year, it gets a little dicey for him. It's not necessarily like a foregone conclusion, but after this year, it does get a little dicey. I think that's what he's going to need. Yes, that is true. I am right. It's still a decent cap hit, but they could save a ton of money as soon as next year to let Tannehill go. He has to, if Malik Willis is going to be anything in Tennessee, he doesn't want another draft class. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if he's really the project he's supposed to be, I'll go back to what you were saying all offseason. These might just be a bunch of backups.
Yeah. I mean, because we've seen in past NFL drafts, backups getting drafted in the second and third round, and these guys were falling to, like, the guys that we thought were going to go in the first were falling to, like, the third, fourth, fifth. I mean, when did Carson Strong get drafted? I mean, he didn't, right?
Yeah, correct. He's the one that didn't.
So, it's just
I think
crazy.
He's an Eagle. There was, like, some point he was an Eagle, some point he wasn't an Eagle. He was a Jaguar. I think he is an Eagle again. I don't know.
Jaggy.
That doesn't bode well. That doesn't bode well. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. Nice.
Now, we can make this work, but I am curious how you feel about the ripple effect of the A.J. Brown trade during the NFL draft. How do you feel about Devonta Smith?
His ceiling's capped. Anybody who had Devonta Smith, they wanted to see him be that wide receiver one, and I think he had that in him. The Eagles also ran the ball more than any team last year when the season was done. I know that they tried to figure out what their identity was, where they were throwing and not rushing the ball at all. I remember Miles Sanders had the entire running back room had three carries in one game. So they were all over the place. I'm careful when I look at final statistics and not look at all the context in between. But they still, it's a fact that the Eagles ran the ball more than any other team in the league last year. And most of their success came when they did. They were losing games when they weren't. The knock on Hurts is not the best arm. So now we have A.J. Brown in there as well. Like, I know people will make the argument where Devonta Smith, who has maybe that alpha role in him, now has, you know, pressure. He has now maybe the second corner because people are going to throw their first corner on A.J. Brown. I get that. I do. But between the pass volume, Hurts not being the best passer in the world, at least to date, like, let's see if he takes a jump in his year two. it's not a good thing. I can't make it a good thing. At absolute best for Devonta Smith, it's a lateral for him. In a season where he needs to take a significant jump for it to be a lateral.
Now,
does that make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. But I want to go back to something you said when we were talking about the Falcons and when we were trying our best to create a positive narrative for Bryan Edwards, who really has like 800 yards throughout two seasons.
Does he have that much?
Yeah, just about. Yep. I was surprised. I was surprised. Yeah. 700 or 800, to be completely fair, for anybody that might look that up and be super technical. But do you think that Jalen Hurts is the long term answer in Philadelphia?
Okay, all right. Well, okay. I'll say what I said with Zach Wilson. I mean, they're setting him up to succeed. I mean, there's no freaking doubt. I mean, I can't imagine he's not going to have just as good of a season with an AJ Brown. And a healthy, imagine a healthy Miles Sanders all season long. Like, I feel like they gave him this year, and if he was to do even better this year in the passing department in particular with an AJ Brown, you would hope that would happen. That, yeah, I think they do. I know they have the draft capital, and we keep hearing about how they had the draft capital to get one of these quarterbacks. But if you look at the teams that are most likely to finish last, they all need quarterbacks. Carolina, the Falcons. They all need, so you're gonna have like
even potentially Detroit. I know you want to say it.
Yeah, that's one. Sometimes I leave that out. But yeah,
Houston.
That was actually the name I was thinking of. So you just mentioned four teams that are absolutely have a wonderful chance to wind up in the top
10, even
easily.
I mean, you know what I mean?
Easily,
no, because then
easily.
At that point you can trade up. Like some
right.
fall, we saw Fields go at what, like 20 to Chicago.
Yep. Vegas has the Eagles going to the playoffs. I mean, you know, they're going to have to move up pretty significantly. I'm not saying it can't happen with their draft picks, but yeah. It's going to be a more difficult road. Like, we can't just assume that the Eagles aren't going to be a better team. We can't just assume that the Eagles are going to be able to use those two draft picks to get one of these quarterbacks. And we also can't just assume that that quarterback that they can reach for is one that the Eagles like. The Eagles aren't going to like every quarterback that comes out in the next year's class. It's not like that. So, yeah, no, I think the AJ Brown move makes me, if I owned any Hurts, and I don't, would make me a little bit more secure about owning Hurts, to be honest.
Panero, let's fly back to New York.
Ooh.
And
oh no.
See if we can get any ripple effect off of this airplane as we land.
What part of New York?
How, like, we're gonna fly right into Kadarius Phoney, and I wanna know how you feel like about Wandale Robinson go there, and is there any telling signs, like, is it fair to comp them? And do you think that this means that they probably are trying harder than we thought to trade Kadarius Toney?
The reason I don't want to use these words because you brought up the question, but the words that jumped to my mind were popular and easy to exchange these two players. I think the thing that really sets them apart is that Wando Robinson's about my size. He's 5'8", I think 170. I don't think they're the same in that way, and they're certainly not the same athletically. Can they both run really, really fast? Yes. There's plenty of players that run really, really fast, but that are very, very different on how they do it. Wandale Robinson felt like a freaking reach for me with Sky Moore and Pickens, and so I'm, as a Giants fan, I'm kind of disgusted with the pick. Like, I really don't like the pick, and I think for that reason, just like you admitted, you know, a couple times to me, like the homerism in you does this stuff's supposed to be fun. So yeah, you want some Williams on your teams to be fun. I actually don't want any Wandale Robinson to have fun. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want any of him. So I'm actually like more out on Wandale Robinson than I was even pre-process, because I wasn't that high on him to begin with. Now he's with the Giants. I was disgusted with the pick. And they have a lot of wide receivers on that team. There's room, don't get me wrong. And, you know, if you believe Kadarius Toney has zero chance, then Wandale Robinson fits in a role this year. But that whole thing is just a freaking mess. I want no part of Wandale Robinson. I don't see a ripple effect because I just don't like him.
Yeah, I'm with you. If there's any interest I have there, I'm just seeing how cheap I can get Kenny Galladay.
Oh, yeah, please.
I mean, quite honestly, and it's more, yeah. And I'm saying so cheap. Like, I'm not 100%. Saying I'm going all in, but it sounds like we mentioned with Bryan Edwards earlier, it sounds like they want Daniel Jones to get more comfortable throwing the ball and trusting his wide receivers. And that's what Kenny Golladay needs. I'm not saying that he's ever going to get what he got from Stafford, but that's what Golladay absolutely needs to be. He's a 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see if that comes into play. I think he's somebody that you can get really cheap, you know, if you are close to getting a deal done for like Elijah Moore and that guy has Golladay, like let that be the one that kind of just, just go for it. I kind of like the idea of that. Buffalo, Eagles, Houston's, Chiefs, we've handled all those teams. You know what? Like, so what is sensitive subject here in Rookie Fever? What is the ripple effect for Amon-Ra St. Brown with Jameson Williams going to Detroit? Like, how are you feeling about that?
That's so crazy, dude. I literally went down in preparation for this show and crossed that off my list to not fire you up. All right, so here's the deal.
I will try my hardest to, like, save how I feel about this for a different show. Yeah. Yeah, so no, seriously, like...
All I was going to say is I think it has a negative effect on Amon-Ra St. Brown. Absolutely does. I don't think he's going to have 10, 12, and 13 target games.
I agree.
But we also might see an increase in efficiency. And I also believe there's literally no one else. I know everyone's going to mention Hockenson and Swift, and they're not wrong, right? Hockenson and Swift absolutely are going to get targets. But I don't know, man. I like this offense. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, I mean, Detroit's doing it right, too. I mean, we can't lie. And then if Detroit all of a sudden, like you had said earlier in this show, it's got a top five pick. I mean, hold on, right? So Amon-Ra, just because Amon-Ra did that with a shit ton of targets, there's people that get a shit ton of targets. We mentioned Kadarius Toney, some of his games that people are filling in saying he had really good games. They're just target games. They weren't catch games. They were target games. They were high target games. He didn't do what Amon-Ra did with those targets.
Right.
Right? So you still have to do something with those targets. He was doing way more than something. He was winning people fantasy playoff games. So I'm not going to take that away from him. But to say that this helps Amon-Ra St. Brown in some way, I'm not there either.
Well, I feel like you sort of said it could help him in a way.
I think I think it's like it's like a six
his
of one, half a dozen of another.
Be more open.
Right. But then he's going to get less of them.
Sure. I mean, his last six games, I want to say he averaged like 11 and a half targets a week.
Right.
His last six games. But I don't think it's crazy to put him in that 7 to 9 target area with a 70% catch rate, 75 even, with better opportunities. I don't think it's crazy at all. I think he's a fine wide receiver too for your teams, which is what I kind of always thought he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
We always thought a player was going there, you know, like,
yep.
I think he's still good for those, that kind of volume. He was starting to get that with Hockenson and Swift on the field. I know with Shark being there and Jameson being there, he's going to have some like all, and all these guys will, but he's going to have some 4 to 5 target weeks, but I think he'll be right in that, like, 7 to 8, man. I really think he will be. He's a slot receiver. He's going to demand, like,
right,
even if it goes away after Goff, like, that's Goff's sweet spot. And you might even see somebody like Jameson or Shark with more yards and more touchdowns. But I really think that, so they've taken care of not only, like, the positional need, but they've also taken care of, like, what, where they need the wide receivers, like, the,
yes.
You know what I mean? They had him on at the slot. Nobody's taking that job from him. They didn't replace him at all.
Thank you for reminding me that Chark is on this team. I literally said there's no one else. Chark is on this team. And we talked about when they got Chark, that Chark had zero effect because of their different games on Amon-Ra. That just helps open up the field. And Jameson, yeah, that's your poster child right there, dude. I don't know if you've been in line to buy a jersey already, but you should be. Like, that's, like you said, they traded up to get him, and it wasn't a small amount. They want to use this guy a ton. But I have a
confession, though. I still have to get my Swift jersey.
Wow.
Yeah, I've got my Hockenson, but yeah, I got to get the Swift jersey, dude.
All right. Well, we have to start a Patreon or something so you can afford it.
Where else should we go? Like, you want to go to the West Coast really quick?
You keep... Before we go there, because you're using the geographic, which I love, by the way. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm going to have to, unfortunately, before we take off.
Gas is pricey. I mean, I understand.
Right. There you go.
On the East Coast.
I just want to stay on the East Coast for one second. In particular, a same team we've talked about. I think Gabe Davis is a winner, dude. I really do. I think he's a big winner. I know a lot of people like Shakir. But he was a fifth round pick. He's 148 overall. And I just really don't think that Khalil Shakir is any threat to his wide receiver two role. I really got excited when I saw Buffalo come out and make the moves that they made. And Gabe Davis kind of just sits there as the guy.
Yeah, if anything, and I don't know anything about this contract, but it makes me wonder if Crowder gets cut.
Yeah, that's a very strong possibility. If not, it's then just next year will be gone. You know, it's a matter of time.
I do want to go to Seattle.
Okay, so you're flying. All right, so now we're all out of gas money. All right, fine. We can't go back. That's for sure.
I'll group me Dave really quick and see if he can get us home somehow. But I want to know, do you think Rashad Penny has any relevance at this point?
I know that a lot of people are saying that he does. I don't think he has as much as people think he does. And I also think people are forgetting that for me, I don't like to call players injury prone. I really don't. And I'm not going to do that directly now. But if you go back and look at the availability of Penny and just think that he's going to play 16 games next year, then why are you knocking McCaffrey? You know what I mean? Like, you can't use the same logic. And then for some reason, Gainwell had amazing draft capital. He's practically a first round pick. Like, they clearly told you what they wanted to do. Carson's not coming back from this neck injury. I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. And if he does, he's practically coming back to retire.
Yeah.
In my opinion, kind of Alex Smith-ish, honestly. And, mm-hmm. and I don't even mean to be mean, honestly, but it was a serious injury, likely ending his career for his livelihood. Yeah, I don't think it's worth the risk.
I think out the gate, Swags, Kenneth Walker gets 60%.
Yeah.
Out the gate.
You
know how many backs had 60% share last year in all the NFL?
I don't think. Like
eight. Eight. Eh. So 60% is pretty damn good. I'm going to take that. 60-40? That sounds right to me. And
I did notice that you never sent me the trade for the 102 after I took Breece Hall. And you ended up taking – you were happy
that was with a very Walker. It was a very bad time for me. It was in the middle of the
worst. I still
day.
Have him. I mean, it's nothing
– Oh, yeah. I know. Isn't that weird? Isn't that strange? Yes. We should talk about that. I love the deal. I love the deal you got. Like, this guy's got no first round. Did he even have a first round pick? He had like the 2-0. You might have had the 2-2 in the whole draft
today.
And he's grabbed. And you got a 23 first, right?
Today.
Yeah. Yeah. For the 2-2.
201.
Yeah. Just wheeling and dealing over here, making it harder and harder for me to win this league.
No, I accepted a trade. And honestly, I don't know how that makes it harder for you to win the league because I didn't take the player that's going to get me points.
I just meant you're smashing it again.
Had I that was
Breece Hall makes James it hard Cook for me pick. To win this league.
That was going to be my James Cook pick, but I wanted to trade with you. I wanted that 203 in like your third. That's what I wanted. Or your 204, whatever you've got. So
So we could make that happen right now.
No, I'm not. When I had the 201, we'll talk later.
Yeah, they don't want to hear all this. I'm a sloppy trader, guys. I'm very sloppy. I can't go back to the East Coast. I have so much East Coast stuff.
We can coast back over there if you want.
No, dude, gas.
Parachute out. We're probably done. Just let this plane go flying into the ocean.
How do you think Romeo Doubs has a ripple effect on Christian Watson? Since Romeo Doubs is going to have a better 2022 than Christian Watson.
You think he will?
No.
It's fun to say.
I'm just owning it, dude. Like, I've been negative on Christian Watson. I'm just going to own it now. Like, it's something I felt strongly about, just watching his tape. Not highlights, watching his tape. I just didn't see it, dude. I'm sorry. but he's in a great position to win. I would love to watch Romeo Dobbs. there was a video clip on Twitter where he was talking to either the head coach or offensive coach. I don't know which one, but the offensive coach kept on like doing that motion where like the guy's catching the ball. He kept on like just doing it over and over again. And Christian Watson's just staring at him, like learning. And I said, I'm really good lip reader. The coach is telling Christian Watson how to catch the ball. I just feel like, you know, like this is going to be my guy to hate on until I'm proved otherwise.
Until you see it.
Yeah. I mean, there's busts all over the league, right? Like it happens all the time. That's just going to be my bust candidate. I don't like the player.
Yeah. And I mean, the Packers drafted Jordan Love at like 26 overall. You know what I mean? So it's not like I've got a ton of confidence in anything going on in that building as far as the NFL draft goes.
Right.
That's
a good point.
I mean, they got A.J. Dillon, and I like him a lot, but it's not like they've killed all the drafts or anything.
No. Yeah, so Romeo Dobbs, fourth-round pick, 6'2", 201 pounds. The funny thing about him, just to get back to him, he is kind of, you know, like on draft night, he was called a vertical weapon. He has, like, kind of a Christian Watson-type mold to him. I wonder if that was kind of a, huh.
Yeah.
What if this Christian Watson guy doesn't work out? I'm definitely kidding. A lot of this is tongue-in-cheek. Christian Watson's got amazing draft capital. He's going to be given every single chance to possibly succeed. He has one of the best quarterbacks all time. He probably will be fine. But if he falls flat on his face, I was right.
I mean, he definitely could end up being one of those players that, I mean, he's got the quarterback for it, is what I'm saying. I agree with you. I have some concerns. But, man, he does have the quarterback to go out there and have a season if Aaron Rodgers ends up trusting him enough.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because if you don't have that, you don't get the ball.
Yeah.
I don't care what talents you have.
The problem has been that area that he typically goes, I'm looking at somebody else.
Oh, 100%. Oh, you know I am.
You know, we've mentioned a lot of players on the show today that were hesitant in that area, that I'm taking over him, that I'm a little bit more excited about. I'm taking Sky Moore. I'm taking Jahan Dotson. I'm taking James Cook. Who else have we mentioned, man? But I'm taking a lot of those, like George Pickens, did I say that? I'm taking those guys I'm taking Christian Watson.
I'm with you, dude. You know that.
Panero, we've been a lot of places today. But it's probably time to abort this bad boy. I don't know if you want to see if we can crash this in one more spot and get the wheels down, or just jump out these parachutes here.
I guess we should probably jump out. I mean, you used up all the gas. Plus, we went back. Yeah. So I guess I wanted to ask you a question. Do you think Zamir White is a warning shot to Jacobs owners?
No, I don't. I don't know how we didn't go to Vegas. No, seriously. I think that them not giving him the fifth-year option was a warning, to be quite honest with you.
Because I really like Zamir White, the player, like a lot. I really do. And
I don't feel like they invested enough in Zamir White for me to worry about Josh Jacobs this year, to answer your question.
Fair.
Everybody always gets worried about Josh Jacobs every year. It's the thing to do. I'm really not for the season.
It'll
be interesting to see what happens and what with his future after this, if he ends up getting franchise tagged by the Raiders, if they want to field Zamir White out and see if they can move to him. I think that this will take a little bit away from Josh Jacobs in the passing game, because he low-key had a decent amount of receptions last year, decent amount of targets last year, that kind of goes unmentioned. But I think it'll take a little bit away from that, but I do think Josh Jacobs is going to be the workhorse back for the Raiders in 2022. After that, it doesn't matter, because it's either the contract will speak for itself or the team change completely, honestly.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs has been and will always be a player that if you acquire, you're acquiring at pretty much a sunk cost. You're knowing that, like, you're either going to retire the production on your team. He's a tough player to trade no matter what he does for your team. So if you like to trade a lot, he's a tough guy to have unless you get him to the right contender. That's the problem with Josh Jacobs. It's not the production he's given us, but it's how do you get rid of him? And it kind of, for me, it just kind of gets to the point where I'm just like, oh, why try? You know, everybody's just going to offer me. You know what I mean? It just gets to that point. So I think he's fine for this season. He's relatively young. He's been a productive fantasy running back.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's teams that could use him.
Yeah, he's got he does have a second contract in him if they wind up moving on, if he's had enough production. But if he stays, ugh.
I mean, I don't think Zamir White is Javonte Williams.
No, he's not.
And they still wanted Melvin Gordon there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. Like, yeah.
So I think Josh Jacobs is probably better than Melvin Gordon at this point in their careers.
I agree. Absolutely.
So I think it's easy to crap on Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery. It's just what happens. It's an interesting part. Once it happens, it never really goes away. Just kind of, they have this stink and I don't know. It
does
weird.
Happen. I agree.
Tainted players.
I've never felt that way about Jacobs. I did feel that way about Montgomery at one point. I've come around on Montgomery clearly, but I've never felt that way about Josh Jacobs. I never put him into that category, to be honest. I've always liked him.
Weird rookie rewind to end the show. Javonte Williams or Travis Etienne?
Javonte Williams.
Same, dude. And I feel like it's so easy.
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of like Travis Etienne. It's Travis Etienne over Javonte, and it's not close. I'm like, wait, what? This is really a thing? I didn't know this was a thing. No. But it's a thing.
Well, because he's like kind of like tweeting he's healthy and stuff right now, so everyone's getting excited again.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
And the Melvin Gordon signing, come on, stop.
Yeah, and that... Stop.
Javonte's another guy that's going to get at least 60%.
I mean, they're not just going to utilize any one running back. It's going to be similar to the Eagles.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I think that's another backfield. Even if Williams only gets 60%, he's in that top 10 again, right? Mm-hmm. He's getting more carries than two-thirds of the league. Like, yeah. It's going to be just fine. Not to mention his efficiency, his elusiveness. Forget it. Yeah, no, I think Javonte all day for me.
Feverish, what's your favorite thing to do on DynastyNerds.com?
I would say my favorite thing is probably still the league analyzer, especially this time of year. As I accumulate more and more rookie picks, I can now look over to the league analyzer. This is my favorite part about the league analyzer. It tells me my rank in the league, like a non-biased opinion. I mentioned this on HQ. Like, I have rose-colored glasses. I think all my teams can win, even the bad ones. I'm like, I just have to make a couple moves, and then it'll win. That's not true. This is not true.
Then you go to DynastyNerds.com and they piss on your sunshine.
It's like looking in the mirror, right? Like, you look at it and you're like, oh, damn, they think I'm 11 out of 12. That's more than a couple moves away. That's a rebuild right there. But no, that's one of my favorite things. And you all know that film room is absolutely one of my favorite things about. And it doesn't mean, just because we've all made these rookie picks doesn't mean I'm not going to go into the film room. I'm still going in the film room because I might want to trade these guys and I might want to relook at that. Like, this is, yeah, there's just so much there that,
it's always growing.
It would just be nice if there was like a discount code though. Like, if you could, like, it's very affordable. Don't get me wrong, but like, that's the one thing that would make, I think, somebody really excited.
I feel like it'd be really cool if there's a discount code and it, like, use code Fever.
Well, that would be badass. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you maybe just said, I don't know, let's not get greedy, 15%.
I like it.
Maybe 15% code Fever. I would try it. I would go on, see if it works. Probably a good chance. We know some people. Promo code Fever, save 15%, any membership.
Awesome site, guys. If you've been listening to Rookie Fever for a long time, especially after our departure from the old network we were with, you have noticed that, I mean, there haven't been a lot of promotions or anything like that on our show, and that is by choice.
Yep.
It just we really believe in Dynasty Nerds though, and it's been a great relationship and it's a great site, so it was easy for us to get on board with them. Not quite 100% honestly.
Yeah, and if anybody's listened to us for multiple years, we took a huge reprieve, like Swag said, from any promotion. And the reason we did that is we said, we're not doing another one unless we believe in it. Because the other one, we were kind of forced to do certain promotions based on being part of a website family, if you will. And then when we became independent, we loved that because we're like, well, we don't need to do that anymore. We didn't believe in most of that stuff, or we weren't using it. Like, it was just a tough sell. We're here. This is not a tough sell. This is something we'd absolutely believed in. When they came to us, we knew it was going to be a win-win for both sides. They wanted to come to Rookie Fever during this period of time and get our listeners this promo code. And the fact that the fact that they chose us and the fact that we already were big fans of them made it an easy decision.
Yep, absolutely. Feverish, tell them anything about you, anything you want to know, what you're doing, where to find you.
You can find me at Aardvark TV, and I may or may not answer your question, but you can find that dude over there.
You know he will.
You can find that dude over there, Swagzilla0G. He'll answer probably any question you have, and probably with a little bit more efficiency.
That's just a time management thing. Finero's freaking busy. I could not do Finero's Monday through Friday.
Well, Finero's having a hard time doing his Monday through Friday.
So,
because it's not even Monday through Friday.
Appreciate you very much, as always, Mike. Oh, Feverish, Finero. Appreciate you guys listening, always tuning in. We are at Rookie Fever. I am at Swagzilla0G. This is at Rookie Fever, and we are out. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you're gone, gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? It's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. Now you got 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 the fever.